The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Who goes there? Isn't that the cry of the soldier who's on guard duty? Now, depending on the relationship you have with that soldier as to how you're going to respond. One person's going to go, "Hey Joe, it's just me, don't shoot." If you're a person of higher rank, you might come in and you say, "I'm your commanding officer, let me in." On the other hand, if you're a stranger to the guard, you've got to give your name, you've got to give your credentials, you've got to give your reason for why you're there and who you're going to see. You see, you need to know your identity. And you need to know your level of authority relative to the guard. Is your rank superior or inferior to them? Knowing your identity and authority influences what you can and what you can't do. Last week, David spoke on knowing your identity and authority as part of our series on the reality of the spirit realm. He said that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are special to God. He said you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness and you are in a battle whether you like it or not. And you are in a battle. It's called spiritual warfare. And if you're involved in a war, you need to know what side you're on. And you need to know what level of authority you carry within that battle. Now, in the context of spiritual authority, there are two sides. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of Satan. If you're on God's side, your role is releasing the kingdom of God. What that means is that you're restoring things back to the way God intended it to be. It means you're prevailing over the influence of sin and evil in creation. So when we think about the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of darkness, from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, we see that Satan was bringing sin and evil into the world and has continued to do it ever since. Now, when we think about spiritual warfare, it can be very personal. When you are claiming victory in an area of your life, steps towards victory means that you are becoming increasingly free from the effect of sin in your life so that you are becoming more like the person God created you to be. Now, spiritual warfare isn't just personal. Do you know, you get to play a part in something much greater, something much bigger. You get to play a part in overcoming the influence of evil in our world. So today, as we continue our series on the reality of the spirit realm, we're looking at how to use your authority. And we're going to look at the sources of authority, we're going to look at what affects our authority, and how to take up your authority. Because you need to know these things. When a person calls out, "Who goes there?" You need to know your identity, you need to know your authority in terms of how do you respond. And so in the biblical context, there are two questions that are asked. Are you a son of the house or are you a slave of the enemy? When Jesus addressed this from John chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. See, your identity and your authority is different depending on whether you are a slave or a son or daughter of God. So if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, that means that you're part of his family. You're his child. You've got a place in his family. It means that you are in Christ Jesus. So last week, David talked about three different aspects of authority, and one of those was positional authority. So if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10, it says, "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." That's positional authority. That's our position. We are positioned with Christ, seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in Christ Jesus. And so now it goes on to explain what grace is. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So grace is a gift of God. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you achieve by merit. It's a gift of God. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what this passage tells us is that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we receive the incomparable riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. See, in Christ Jesus is really important. You are in Christ Jesus if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that grace that's mentioned there, those incomparable riches of his grace, includes forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, that is, in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So what that means is that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, we receive forgiveness of our sins. And that means we are no longer condemned as slaves. You're no longer a slave. You're a son or a daughter. Romans 8:1 puts it this way. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're getting the picture that this in Christ Jesus is really important? That's where you are. You are positioned in Christ Jesus. So why is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because sin has been dealt with in your life by grace, not by your own merit, not by anything you have done to achieve it. By grace, you are forgiven and you are loved. And so as we continue through Romans chapter 8, we get down to verses 38 and 39, and there it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, again, it's in Christ Jesus. Because you are in Christ Jesus, demons, powers, and anything else in all creation cannot separate you from the love of God. Your identity is that you are a loved child of God. And if you know your identity as a child of God, then you can walk in the authority that God gives you as his child. But if you are going to walk in authority, you've got to understand what authority actually is. So there's this one day where Jesus is on his way to the home of a Roman centurion to heal a centurion's servant. When the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I do not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. The word centurion means commander over 100 men. This was a soldier who understood rank and authority. It says there that, and the man says, for I myself am a man under authority. There is a chain of command, and he knows that he sits under the authority of his superiors, but he also knows that as a centurion, he is a commander of the men under him. So he understands authority in the military sense, but he actually also understood authority in the spiritual sense because he submitted himself to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Why not? He understood Jesus had greater authority. In fact, Jesus has all authority. In Matthew 28, it says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me," that is to Jesus. But the amazing thing is that Jesus has been given all authority over heaven and earth. And then one of the other expressions David used last week was delegated authority. So we have positional authority, we're positioned with Christ, in Christ, but we have delegated authority. Jesus delegates authority to his followers. So for instance, for his disciples, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. That's the authority he gave, to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. But Jesus did not just limit delegation of his authority to the 12. So what we see is that there's a man named Saul, and he's on a road to Damascus, when he has an encounter with Jesus. And he asks, "Who are you, Lord?" And then Jesus responds, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet." There's authority right there, right? As he tells Saul to get up. "I've appeared to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see in me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them." That's authority. Jesus is sending Saul to them. Why? "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So here we see that Jesus has authority over Saul. He can command Saul what to do, but he also delegates authority to Saul. He sends Saul out with authority to open the spiritual eyes of people. There are these people who are, it says there, to turn them from darkness. Why? Because they were in the kingdom of darkness. They were under the power of Satan. And as Saul comes to them, and later Saul is called Paul, and as he comes to them and brings the good news, they are shifted from darkness to light. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, they come out from under the power of Satan to becoming under the power of God. Jesus delegated that authority to Saul. Did you know he also delegates that authority to every follower of Jesus Christ? To help people be free from spiritual darkness and the power of Satan. I want you to take a moment and reflect on this. You have been given authority to help free people from darkness and the power of Satan. Just take a minute to think about that. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given authority to help free people from darkness and the power of Satan. So if you have that authority, you need to know the source of your authority. You need to know what that means, where it comes from. Your primary source of authority is Christ, because you are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you carry Christ's authority. But you are also under his authority. So there are various sources or ways that we can access that authority. We're going to look at two. One is his word, which is the Bible. And the second, which is his body, the church. So as we consider the Bible, the word of God, when Jesus is praying to God, he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So when we live under the authority of God's word, we are trying to live the way the scriptures tell us to. Now, one of the things the scriptures tell us to do is to be dealing with the influence and effect of sin and evil in our lives and in the world. So where it says sanctify them, the word sanctify means to make holy. So if we are going to live the way the Bible tells us to, if we're going to live under the authority of scripture, that is, we're doing more good and we are doing less evil, then we are growing in holiness. We are being sanctified. See, scripture, all of scripture, is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God, that's you, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we live under the authority of scripture, we are being trained in righteousness. We're being equipped for every good work. And that means that we're being freed from the power of darkness and the power of Satan in our lives and in our world. But there's something else very significant. Satan is also under the authority of Scripture. When Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, Satan came to tempt him 3 times. And each time, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. He responded back with Scripture. When Scripture is used correctly, it has authority over Satan because Scripture is truth. Satan, on the other hand, is the father of lies. He hates truth. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are under the authority of Scripture. And as we live according to the way that Scripture leads us, it helps us grow in our identity as sons and daughters of God. And it shows us that as we use Scripture, we exercise authority to overcome Satan and his temptations. Now, the church, his body, is another source of authority. Remember, we are in Christ Jesus. The scriptures have, we've seen the scriptures already today that reinforce again and again, you are in Christ Jesus. Well, if Jesus is the head of the church, who are we? Whether? Body. Isn't that what scripture tells us? Let's look at that scripture, Ephesians 1, 22, 23. And God placed all things under his, that's Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is the head, the church is his body. Therefore, the church has authority because it is the body of Christ. The church has authority to address evil and help people grow in Christ. So as Paul wrote, so when you are assembled and I am with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. So in other words, when we are assembled as a church, the power of Jesus is present here through his Holy Spirit. So when the church is led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, it can do so much good for people. And when we gather as a church and when we pray, we confront the spiritual forces of darkness in the lives of people and in this city. And when we are assembled, Paul wrote, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. So he's saying here, do not let divisions form within the church because they become an avenue of spiritual attack to seek to undo the good work that God intends each church to do. So as a church, we have authority to do good and to confront the spiritual forces of darkness in the lives of people and in this city. As a church, we have authority, but we also come under authority, as we saw with Scripture. With Scripture, we have authority, but we come under the authority of Scripture. In the church, we have authority, but we come under authority. So what does that look like? In Hebrews 13 and 17, it says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." See, God calls us to submit to the authority of church leaders, such as, in the case of Rangel, voluntarily submitting to the spiritual authority, the Council of Elders. That's the wording that's used in our constitution. Those leaders are under the authority of Jesus. They will be held to account before God for the quality of their leadership, which is something I'm personally very aware of and take very seriously. So as we remember, when we think about the area of the church is God's people. We have spiritual authority because we are the body of Christ. We are in Christ. We are his body. When we are in unity and pray with that spiritual authority we've been given, we can release the kingdom of God. That's language we use at Rangeville a lot, releasing the kingdom of God. It's part of our vision, releasing the kingdom of God. And we can confront the spiritual forces of darkness in the lives of people and in our city. So let me recap. Our source of authority comes from being in Christ. So when we align under the authority of Jesus, and therefore under his word, the Bible, and as part of his body, the church, we exercise authority to overcome the effects of sin and evil in our world. Now, do you know we've already done this morning? When we gathered together in unity to worship, we were exercising spiritual authority. When Juliet led us in prayer and we prayed for our city, we were exercising spiritual authority for the well-being and good of our city. We prayed for another church in this city. We prayed for this church. We prayed for leaders in this church. We were exercising spiritual authority. Because when we pray together, something very powerful happens in the spirit realm. In the same way, I am so thankful when I see people ministering practically together with one of our mission partners, whether that's winter shelter, whether that's through feeding children at Centenary Heights with Brekkie Club, whether it's helping at Eva's Place. In each of these different ways, when we partner with one of our local mission partners, it makes the lives of people better, more like what God intended their lives to be. That's authority in action. So if we have such authority, what affects it? If we have such authority, why is there times when it feels like we don't have the level of authority that we actually do have? Why is it that Satan causes so many problems in our lives? Because authority is affected by sin. Now I want you to take a moment though and just hear what I'm about to say next. Not all challenges that you face are due to sin. Some challenges are temptations and some are trials which are not sin. So let's unpack that. Temptation is when Satan tries to lure you or entice you to sin. And it's really important to know that temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted 3 times on 1 occasion, and we know he did not sin. He went to the cross completely innocent without sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest," that is Jesus, "who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." So if you are being tempted, it is a ploy of Satan to try to make you sin. But having been tempted That is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Stand firm against it. Then there are trials. Sometimes bad stuff, sometimes really bad stuff happens in our lives. It might be for a day, it might be for a week, it might be for months, it might be for years. And those familiar with the Bible, our default thinking immediately goes to a guy called Job, who suffered massively, even though he'd done nothing wrong. Just because you are going through a trial does not mean you have sinned. In James 1 verse 12 it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test," and some translations there say temptation, "having stood what has been thrown against you, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Satan will try to get you to sin through a trial, but you are blessed when you stand firm in Christ. Trials are not sin. Ask Job, or read the book anyway. See, neither temptations or trials negatively affect your authority. Neither temptations nor trials negatively affect your authority. In fact, the truth is, you are more likely to experience temptations and trials as you grow in authority. Because the higher the level of your authority, the larger the target painted on your back. That's just a reality. The higher the level of authority, the more you step out in faith and exercise the God-given authority that you have, the more the devil will throw at you, the larger the target painted on your back. But, you know, when you're able to stand firm and you don't sin, you don't give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4:27 says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." So when you do not sin, you do not give the devil a foothold. But the reverse is true. If you do sin, you do give the devil a foothold. And sin will adversely affect your authority. Now, ongoing sin can become an open door. You open the door to sin and it's going to come and adversely affect you. Some people use the language of this as a legal right that Satan has against you. For example, let's look at the example of drinking too much alcohol. Drinking too much alcohol opens the door to further harm in your life, possibly physically, possibly relationally, possibly legally. What I mean by that is that if someone is under the influence of drunk too much, then physically it may affect them because they're less coordinated, they're more likely to trip and fall and hurt themselves. If it's chronic alcohol use, then they're going to physically damage their liver. See, it's opening a door to bring damage to you physically. When someone is drunk, they may say something to someone they actually care a lot about, but because they're uninhibited by the effect of alcohol, they say stuff they shouldn't say and wish they had never said. And that can affect you relationally. And then if you are caught driving under the influence, it's going to affect you legally. See, through all of those ways, the opening of a door of sin is going to affect you further, and that will also affect the level of your spiritual authority. So when you are going through times of difficulty, I think there's a really important question you need to ask. Is this a trial due to the devil coming against me to try and cause me to sin? In other words, is there a temptation? Is there a trial? You have not sinned, but it's been thrown at you to try and cause you to sin. Or is there sin present in my life that is allowing the devil to attack me? You need to ask yourselves those questions. If it is a temptation or trial and you have no unconfessed sin, then use your God-given authority to tell Satan to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you will stop this temptation. In Jesus' name, I declare victory over all that you are throwing at me. You can do that. You carry authority in Jesus' name. However, with that second question, if there is sin present, if you have unconfessed sin, the good news is God's made a way to deal with that. He sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And when Christ died on the cross, he defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. And so if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's beautiful. That's powerful. It's good news. Forgiveness purifies us from all unrighteousness. It removes the power of sin from our lives and restores authority. So we've looked at our sources of authority. We've looked at what affects our authority. Now let's look at what it means to take up your authority. You see, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we want to keep growing in Christ. We are in Christ and we want to keep growing more and more to be like Christ. As we grow in Christ, that means we actually choose to start dying to more of ourselves. We die to ourself and choose to live in Christ by his word, as part of his church, and through the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit. And as you continue to die to sin in your life, and as you live in Christ, you grow in your identity as the person God created you to be. You grow in holiness. That is, you are being increasingly set apart from the influence of sin and evil in this world. 1 Peter 1 verses 15 and 16 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." See, last week, David talked about delegated authority, talked about positional authority, and then he talked about the third aspect, which was purposeful authority. And he spoke there about the Great Commission from Matthew 28. And we love this passage. "Therefore go and make disciples." And that's the emphasis and the focus that we so often put on that passage. And it's so important that we go and make disciples. But sometimes we forget the bit that says, "teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Jesus calls us to humbly obey God. And as we obey God, we will walk in the authority that God gives us as his children. You see, it's like that military commander. The military commander has to obey the orders from the commanding officers above. If a military commander does not obey the authority of what is coming down the chain of command, then it's not going to go well, is it? It's going to affect that commander and it's going to affect the battle. We have to understand that we are called to obey God. That gives us authority to then influence what is under us. As we obey God, we walk in the authority God gives us as his children to do his will. When we obey and submit ourselves to God, we also get victory over the devil. James 4:7 confirms it. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." See, when we submit ourselves to God, we stand in the authority that Jesus gives us because we are in Christ. And that causes the devil to have to flee from you. When you understand your identity and your authority is from God, you actually realize you are greater than the devil. You might go, "hang on, what?" No, it's true. 1 John 4:4 says to us, "you, dear children," that's your identity, "you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one who is in you is Christ. You are in Christ. The one who is in the world is Satan. You are in Christ. So in the name of Jesus Christ, use your authority as one who is greater than the one in the world, Satan. That's the authority you've been given. The question is, will you step up and use it? Because when you do, it will change your life. It will change the lives of those around you. It will change our city. So let me summarize today. You see, you are in Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ has all authority. You are under the influence, or under the authority, rather, of Christ. But Christ has delegated authority to you. Now, sources of authority include his word, the Bible. We're under the authority of his word, but we can use our authority by using his word, scripture, to overcome Satan and temptation. We are his body, the church. We're a part of his body. We have authority to address evil and help people grow in Christ. Our authority can be affected by sin, but the good news is that confession purifies us and makes us holy. You are to be obedient to God. That's part of the Great Commission. But as you submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. So Jesus has given you authority. Use it according to his word, as part of his body, through the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Use your authority to overcome Satan, to help people grow in Christ, and make our city more like God intended it to be. Let's take a minute and reflect on that. What's God saying to you through today's message? What will you do with what you've heard? Dear God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through his death on the cross, he defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. Thank you that when we put our faith in Jesus, we are in Christ Jesus, and we receive his authority to help free people from darkness and the power of Satan. Thank you for your word, the Bible. Help us to use scripture wisely to overcome the effects of Satan and his temptations. Thank you, Jesus, for your body, the church. Help us to gather in unity and confront the spiritual forces of darkness in the lives of ourselves, others, and in our city. Lord, help us to stand firm when tempted, to persevere during trials, and to be quick to confess our sins. Help us to grow in holiness as we submit ourselves to you, so the devil has to flee, so your kingdom is released increasingly in our lives and in our city. Lord, we want to see the lives of people restored to what you intended them to be. We want our city to become the city that you desire it to be. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand our authority and to exercise our authority, so that, Lord, we would see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives, in this church, in this city, and far beyond. Thank you, God, for hearing and for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week we're going to continue on through this series and we're going to look at the beautiful aspect of what it means to share in the sacraments as an aspect of spiritual warfare. Did you know that when you share in baptism, when you share in communion, in the same way as when we pray in unity, that we're actually involved in spiritual warfare? So looking forward to that next week as Rod brings that message. If you are new to Rangeville and you would like to know a little bit more, we would love to be able to invite you to lunch next Sunday, 12 o'clock. It's just in the, up the hallway here. So please put that in your calendar. If you're new to Rangeville, you'd like to meet some more people from Rangeville, ask some questions, then please come along to our newcomers lunch. If you today have come or through the service today would like to have someone pray with you, then there's going to be a prayer team over the side here. They'd love to pray with you. So please take hold of that opportunity. If you have a need for physical healing, and we saw today in the passage that their authority has been given to bring healing, then we're going to have children come out here and they'd love to pray with authority. They might be young in years, but they're in Christ and they have his authority to minister healing. And so we've seen some beautiful answers to prayer in physical healing. Take that opportunity to have them pray for you. Tea and coffee is available in the foyer. Please stay if you are able and enjoy the chance for some nice warm tea, coffee, and some great conversation. I'd like to close with these beautiful words from 2 Corinthians 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless. Have a great week. Thanks, everyone.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.